dindily dong, come on.
I don't believe it.
You missed that.
Miller, lovely cushion header. But Gerrard! Oh, you beauty! What a head shot! What a head!
Remember the name, Wayne Rooney.
It's Torres to get Chelsea a place in the Champions League final. The headline has been written.
Unbelievable!
Neil and Riley still going. Look at this, Kevin. It's a brilliant run from Messi. Can he go all the way?
They think it's all over. It is now.
All right, guys, welcome back to another podcast from Talk from the Terraces. My name's Kyle and your name is...
Adam, and happy Pancake Day.
Woo. Happy Pancake Day. Before we get started, I want to introduce our Twitter account. Yeah, we got a Twitter account, Adam. We have indeed. Right. Before you do anything, you pause the podcast and you go on Twitter, if you've got a Twitter. If you haven't got a Twitter, set up a Twitter and you follow us. And it's at podcasttftt, right? You follow it and you're made for life. That's like the best follower you'll ever have, right? Anyway, moving on. Pretty hectic show. Not really. We've just got quite a lot to talk about as normal. We'll waffle on about Claudio Ranieri, I believe. We've also got the League Cup final, which was a really interesting game, which we'll obviously talk over. And then, obviously, Premier League Championship we'll touch. And then, five-a-side with Adam, because he's got another one yet again. Got another trick up his sleeve. Right, so we'll get straight into it. Claudio Ranieri, Adam.
Well, Leicester City fans, I think you can say a majority of them are probably quite disappointed. And I think you probably get the small minority that are quite happy.
Yeah.
I think the people that are quite happy are probably a very small minority, and they're probably happy because of, you look at where they are in the league table, and it's not good compared to last season. Now, I think if they were mid-table sort of thing, like they probably should be, then I think they wouldn't have grumbled. They probably wouldn't have grumbled, and everyone would have been pretty happy. But because they're in such a precarious position, I think it's hard, really. It's a difficult one. Personally, I'd have let him have the rest of the season to get him out of the muck, but football's a results game, isn't it? And he wasn't getting any.
Yeah, like, definitely. You can sort of see that they'd just fallen into the relegation zone, and yeah, all right, they've still got the Champions League to play for, but let's face it, they've got bigger fish to fry right now. They need to really concentrate and stay in the Premier League. I mean, it's, in a way, it's an unpleasant distraction, the Champions League, from now, because they've got like that dream to sort of chase of, you know, potentially winning. I'm not saying they are, because chances are, well, they won't. But, you know, they're still in the tie with Sevilla. They, you know, they got the away goal, which was obviously vital for them if they wanted to progress. But at the same time, they've got, I'm not sure how many games they've got left, but they've probably got 12 or 13 cup finals left in the league. And I think that's massively important to, you know, the immediate future of the team, and then, you know, the future of their club as well. Not saying that they'll filter down to like League Two or anything, but, you know, they've got into the Premier League now, and it's all about staying there when, you know, when you've got there. And like, you know, for example, Stoke, who are a well-established Premier League team, that's what they aspire to be, let's be honest. You know, going back to last season, it was a complete fluke. Like, well, not to say fluke, but there were plenty of teams that had an off season. You know, you had Chelsea who had struggles with Mourinho. You had United who had Louis van Gaal, and let's be real, it just didn't really work. City were, I don't really know, they just didn't really turn up. And then you've got Arsenal who just couldn't capitalise on any opportunity they had. And you could even say Spurs missed out too. So, I mean, all right, yeah, Leicester more than definitely deserved to win the Premier League last season because they were the best team by a mile. But, you know, they're Leicester City. They're not Manchester City at the end of the day. So they should be down there. But yeah, I totally agree with you. They shouldn't have sacked him, in my opinion.
What do you make of the allegations that players went to the board to complain about him?
For me, I mean, obviously the media and things, they like to really get involved and like to basically bullshit and stir shit. Let's be real. Not all the time, but it's a large majority. And in my opinion, I think the players weren't anything to do with this. I genuinely think it was the owners just thinking, right, we've got to pull the trigger at some point. We're in the, you know, they hit the bottom three, and then I think they thought, right, we'll play the Champions League game, and then that will be it. It's gone. I can sort of see, you know, players maybe going to the board and things, but I definitely can't see that happening. The end of the day, these players, 2-3 years ago, except for the small minority, were nobodies. Let's be real. Like, no one knew who Mahrez was. No one knew who Kante was. To a point, no one knew who Vardy was, and they were their best three players last season. You know, what I mean, what do you think? I don't agree with it. I don't think that actually happened. I think there's a different story, and I do think the owners kind of just thought, nah, Premier League's too important.
A lot of me would like to think that it didn't happen, and it's newspapers just trying to sell a headline almost, and like you say, stir things up a little bit. But what gets me is they've sacked the manager, but surely some of the players maybe have got a look at themselves as well, because last season they obviously performed above and beyond, and Ranieri must have done something to get that out of them. But why couldn't he do that this season? What has been Leicester's problem? Do you think teams have adapted to them? Do you think they didn't really make the right additions in the summer or even in January? Or do you think they've just, like it's been on paper, they've just completely underperformed, like unlike they did last season, where they overachieved?
Yeah, I think part of it will be the motivation, because now they've, you know, they've won the Premier League, they've probably aspired their ultimate dream. So what else is there for them to win? Obviously, yes, the Champions League, that would be their other ambition, I guess. But at the same time, I do think, you know, Kante was the rock of that team. You know, he counts for two players in a way. So it was almost unfair that he was that player who was in the middle of the park where you had to kind of really account for. I mean, like this season, they really got found out. Like Robert Hoof and Wes Morgan. Before last season, again, you know, let's go back to the season before where they, you know, somehow got out of that relegation battle. That those two defenders then weren't great. And then Kante come into the fold and really started to show his ability. And I think he's the tool. And looking at Chelsea this season, that's, you know, I'm not just saying Kante is the only reason why Chelsea is so good this season, but he's a massive part of it. He clears all sorts of danger, you know, breaks up counter-attacks, breaks up the play so well, and he's so good on the ball as well. You can start, you know, those counter-attacks back at those teams. And I think that's why Chelsea are so good this year. I'll throw the question back at you. What do you think it is? Do you think it is a motivation thing, or do you think that, you know, maybe Ranieri kind of run out of ideas? Do you think other teams, like you say, do you think other teams have just thought, right, okay, this is how you play them?
I've got a few points on this. I think they never replaced Kante. They did buy that Mendy in from, I think, the same team that Kante came from. I can't remember who it is in France, but maybe they didn't get the right player in. Maybe they tried to get someone too similar. And I think it all boils down to that it's Leicester City, and they couldn't go and attract an absolutely like a world-class centre midfielder to replace Kante. I mean, you look at Man United, who finished outside the top four and bought Pogba and Ibrahimovic. It just says a lot that how big of a name Man United is compared to Leicester, even though they were the Premier League champions. And I think teams did work them out because they played on that counter-attack. I think teams just started letting them have the ball and letting them have possession because they knew that they weren't that great with it. So I think they just kind of backed off a little bit and countered them instead. And I think maybe Leicester kind of, I think they struggled really in that sense, because I was seeing at the start of the season they were having far more possession than they were last season because their counter-attack was so good. And then watching them play against Liverpool last night, I only watched it for about 10-15 minutes and it was already 3-1. But I saw Vardy making the same runs as he was last night, but he was actually getting the ball played over the top, whereas earlier this season it wasn't happening.
Yeah, to sort of put another tap like side on that, I was a tap on it. What? That doesn't make any sense. I do think that one of the key reasons, like you touched on it just then, was that they really didn't go out and invest. You know, yes, they got Mendy, they got Moussa, they got Slimani. You know, those were their, you know, marquee signings, and I'm sort of saying that with little finger inverted comma things. They just aren't Premier, you know, they aren't proven Premier League players. Yeah, don't get me wrong, Moussa is a cracking player on Ultimate Team on FIFA, I'll tell you that. But that's it. Do you know what I mean? Like, if it wasn't for that, I would never heard of him before. Somani, yeah, he had a really good season at Sporting Lisbon. However, he's not really done it in the Premier League this season. I think he scored maybe 4 or 5, but he's just not the player that they need. And I think, you know, you're saying there, like, yeah, you know, United went out and got Pogba and they got Zlatan Ibrahimovic. But I do think that Leicester really could have gone out and bought marquee players like last season. Maybe, you know, maybe not quite, you know, Barcelona, Real Madrid type calibre players and go after them. But, you know, an example maybe like Cavani from PSG. Not saying they would have got him, but a player of that kind of calibre, I think they would have got hold of last season. Maybe even like a Lacazette. At the back, they really needed to strengthen up, and I think like a Marquinhos from PSG would be a good shout. Even they could even go across the Premier League and start sniping from, you know, their rival teams, because, you know, if they'd gone to Spurs and said, yeah, we'll give you 30 million for Alderweireld or 20 million for Vertonghen, Spurs probably, you know, might have bit on that, but they just didn't do it.
No, I mean, they could have even searched different places in Europe. I mean, Yuri Tielemans is a player that I've always admired from Anderlecht, and he's now being tutored to go over to the Premier League in the summer, performing really well for Anderlecht. But like it's like you said, like, I mean, there's other players. I mean, Ashley Williams went to Everton, and he would have been a very good signing for a Leicester side. And even like maybe someone like Gylfi Sigurdsson at Swansea. There's plenty of players that they could have gone for, and they went for three players. One of them, two of them I'd never even heard of. Soleimani I had, but yeah, I haven't barely seen him this season. Has he played?
Exactly. Yeah, that's my point. You know, is he better than Leonardo Jura? Let's be real. They're very similar type players, both quite lanky, not too bad with their feet for their height, and they're there to be ball winners really in the air. So they're just kind of a bit of a strange one. With Moussa, first couple of games of the season, he looked, you know, exciting. He looked promising, but like I said, he hasn't got that quality that Leicester really needed this season, especially missing Kante. They needed to just really go out and spend, you know, even if it was £100 million, they needed to go and do it, because, you know, I'm not saying they would have gone back-to-back, of course not, but if they wanted to really cement their place in the top 10 in the Premier League consistently, then they needed to go and do that, because it'll build the foundations for their future, for them to become like the next City or the next Spurs or whatever. You know, of course, you know, history sort of doesn't lie in the fact that that was their first, was that their first major title? I think it was.
Yeah.
You know, of course, the history and things like that isn't there for them, but it's not about history, is it? It's about here and now and who's the good team now. And I think they could have, well, they definitely can attract those players. Maybe not now because, well, they're down the bottom, but it seems a bit strange. Moving on a little bit, obviously Ranieri's gone now, so he's not going to come back tomorrow, as you go, oh, hey, just joking, sort of thing. What are your thoughts on that? The timing of the sacking, and also, you know, who would you take? You know, is there any, like, I know you're not a Leicester fan or anything, but is there any like perfect men out there you think, right, okay, they can go in and they can do a job and get them back up the table?
I mean, I think the timing of the sacking was quite poor, because you've got, what, 15 games to go or so, just maybe less. So maybe it's quite hard to attract a manager. You'd probably get quite a lot of the top managers already still in jobs or whatever, and it's quite difficult, obviously. If I was going to go for anyone, I'd go for Laudrup, who was managing at Swansea, and I never understood why he left or if he got sacked or whatever, because I thought he did a magnificent job at Swansea. I think he's a really good manager, and I think, or even maybe Frank de Boer, because Frank de Boer's done a really good job at a couple of clubs that, or admittedly, Inter Milan wasn't his greatest feat or anything, but a manager who's apparently quite up and coming, obviously he was a good player back in the day. I don't really know who's available like out there in the market other than like Tim Sherwood, but I wouldn't take Tim Sherwood if I'm honest. So I don't know, it's a tough one for Leicester. I think it's quite a bad timing for sacking a manager.
Yeah, the reason I sort of like put that question out there is that the January transfer window has just ended. Well, not just ended, it's like a month ago now. But if they were going to sack him at any point, you know, take a look at their last 10 games. They've only won 2 in the last 10. So really, shouldn't they have done it a lot earlier? Really, if they were going to do it, maybe they should have done it around the time that we sat Montagnier, mid-January towards the end of January, so that next manager can come in, you know, if they had that manager at the time, to just come in and replace him straight away, to go out and get a couple of players that they want to, you know, to improve the squad a little bit. Because, like I said, they've not improved the squad at all, in my opinion, from last year. If anything, they've lost out. Like I say, that's the reason why they're down there this year. I think, in my opinion, I'd probably go with, like, a Mancini.
He's been linked to
Enzi, so yeah, I would go with Mancini. The reason why is because, yeah, all right, he's managed a top Premier League team and he was given a squad, really. However, he knows the Premier League, he knows what it's about, and he knows the sort of teams that are in there. And you know, he did wonders for City, really. He won them their first title, he won them a couple of FA Cups and the League Cup. He knows what success is all about. I'm not saying, you know, he knows anything about relegation battle. However, I do think he can nurture a little bit of talent and bring his own way about playing again. Another one to sort of rival it, I would maybe say Allegri. Or why not Simeone, eh?
I couldn't see any of those two leaving Juventus or Atletico Madrid. So
yeah, that's right.
Categorically rule them out.
Just got a couple of, got to put a couple out there. We'll leave that out there for now. We might come back to it. You know, just might, you know, maybe. The League Cup final on Sunday. We'll get to the Premier League and things a little bit further down the line. But I think we need to talk about the League Cup final because it was a classic.
I never thought I would enjoy a League Cup final as much as I did, because usually they're absolutely terrible. Same for the FA Cup, usually for the finals. It's not very often you get a very entertaining game, and that was bloody entertaining, I tell you what.
Oh, definitely. You know, I think Southampton were definitely the better team. Even, you know, Mourinho said that, and I think a couple of United players said that, let's be honest, Southampton were the better team. And, you know, in a way, they were hard done by. Obviously, the goal, the first goal, which was ruled offside, was actually onside, and I'm not actually sure how the liner was missed that, because yeah, there are two players there. I know Bertrand's at the back post, but however, he doesn't even touch the ball. He's nowhere near it. It's a shocker, really, and it's another advertisement for getting technology in the game, because it just needs to happen.
Well, you just think about how important that goal might have been, because Southampton were really on top at that point, and had that gone in, it could have changed the outcome of the game. And obviously, like, Man United ended up getting a free kick in a dangerous position, and Zlatan puts it in the bottom corner. I think Fraser Forster could have probably done a little bit better with it, but then United, then again, like, it happened, and they went 2-0 up, and then just, if you think about it, if Gabbiadini's goal had counted and then he ended up getting a hat-trick, it could have been a completely different game, because Southampton really battered Man United. To say it was 3-2 in the end to United, it was quite one-sided, if I'm honest.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the in all fairness, yeah, you're saying Forster could have got that free kick, and yeah, he probably could have. I think he was a step too far to the left. However, who am I to criticise a Premier League goalkeeper? I've never played in all my life.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I agree with you. You know, it was a good yard inside the post. However, at the end of the day, it's a good strike. He's hit it hard. It's finished in the bottom corner. You can't really do too much about that. And the second goal for Lingard, I think that's a bit like that's the key goal there. They could have defended that a lot better. However, I think Southampton was, you know, at that point were just trying to go for it because they were on top and they, you know, they should have, you know, at least been level, if not in front at that sort of time. And then obviously Zlatan's winner there. Again, poor marking really. But also again it's from a Southampton corner and they're just tracking back, and you know, I feel really sorry for Southampton because it's, you know, it's more important to them than it is to United, in a way, because it means they would have qualified for Europe next season. And it's massive for them in terms of trying to, again, be another club to push out of top 10. However, whatever, United have won it. And, you know, I've got to put the question to you. Is this a chance for United to get the treble?
In a way, yeah. It's a bit of a weird one because I think Liverpool did this in, like, early 2000s, I want to say.
Yeah, I think it was 2001 or two.
Yeah, I remember when Owen scored a couple of goals in the FA Cup final against Arsenal. I remember watching it when I was younger. And it is a really good opportunity for United to win a treble. And I think it's something that Mourinho would actually really relish at trying. I know it's only going to be the Europa League or whatever, but it's a trophy he's never won. And why not? You want to win as many trophies as you can in your career, I suppose, and it's a good opportunity for them. They got a really kind draw in the next round of the Europa League against what are they called, Rostov. I know they're not going to be an easy team or a walkover, but on paper it's a nice draw for United for the last, I think, 16 are they in now.
Yeah, that's right. You know, in all fairness, Europa League, they're the favourites to win it now. Spurs have gone out. In all fairness, I probably would have them as favourites anyway, but I think they could, you know, it's the way to get into the Champions League.
If they are obviously through the league, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they could well still do it for the league. Obviously, it's very tight up there. However, you know, if it was down to me, I would probably try and go and get, you know, the Europa League, because, like I said, it's not the harshest of draws. You know, you haven't got to play like a Bayern Munich or a Juve in the final. I'm not actually sure what the best team is left in that competition. However, like I say, you know, like you said, you've got FC Rostov there. That's not to say it's a blowover, but they should comfortably win there, if not at home. And then in the FA Cup, you know, there's Arsenal, there's Lincoln. I think there's the big boys left still. You've got Chelsea and Spurs and things, but I would back United. Now they've got the taste for it.
Yeah, definitely. I'm just looking at the Europa League, and literally, I think the biggest team left on paper are Ajax. like they're the most successful, but literally, like a lot of those teams aren't going to be, shouldn't challenge Man United on a pitch other than, oh, maybe Roma actually. Roma are a strong side. So yeah, Man United should definitely be a competition they should go for. I don't see why not. Why would you? Look down upon a trophy just because it's the Europa League. It's still a big European competition in my eyes.
Still classed as a major trophy, right?
Yeah, definitely.
There you go. You go for it then, don't you? moving on to the Premier League. Actually, no, I'll give you a quick stat because it's there. It's staring me in the face. So from that game, obviously inclusive of that game, United have scored 8 offside goals this season, which have counted, and conceded 9 onside goals against them but ruled offside. There you go.
Good deal.
That's a stat for you, isn't it? Stat of the day.
Stat of the day.
Something to tell the kids. Right, anyway. moving on to the Premier League. Some interesting results, you know, some good results here and there as well. I mean, nothing like an 8-0 like Bayern against Hamburg on Saturday, but some good results. Starting off with the league leaders, you got Chelsea in the end being a comfortable win over you know, not a struggling Swansea City, but a rejuvenated Swansea City, I'll say. Any thoughts on that? Have you watched Match of the Day?
I didn't get a chance to, really, but I'll have a... And I kind of, like, sort of was watching, like, BBC and stuff, and, like, I read a couple of things. And I think Swansea looked like they gave quite a spirited performance in that. I mean, it was 1-1 at one point, I believe. And I think Chelsea have done, like, they've done their champions performance almost of getting through it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. For me, looking at the highlights, you know, Swansea could have had a penalty. They got it turned down. In my opinion, it's a blatant penalty. I'm not sure. I think it was Aspen Equator who committed the offence. I may as well talk you through it. I'm not sure who the winger was at the time, but the guy went down the wing. The ball kind of flipped up, and then Aspen Equator sort of moved his hand towards the ball in a kind of an unnatural way. And I do just think that's a penalty. 100 times out of 100, you just give it. So I think they were hard done by there. I'm not sure what stage of the game that was. I think it was at 1-1, so it was a key point of the game. But yeah, like you saying, I think that's their champions sort of spirit in a way, coming out and just thinking, right, you know, we've got to grind a result out here, and in the end it looks comfortable. Crystal Palace won, Middlesbrough nil.
That Palace's is that their first win under Allardyce?
It is indeed, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, you know what? It's just Sam Allardyce, isn't it? You know, as soon as you start to doubt him, he's like, right, okay, I'm going to start winning now.
Yeah. Van Aanholt scored, and like, he must be the top scorer for a fullback this season. He scored definitely a ridiculous amount of goals. He may as well play left wing half the time, because he gets forward that much. It's unreal. But
yeah.
I think Middlesbrough fans have definitely got to worry, because I don't remember the last time they really scored that many goals, and it just shows how good they are at defending, because they don't concede that many, because they're on -9, which is the lowest out of the, like, from Bournemouth to the bottom. But they just don't score, like, the lowest goals, of the teams, which is obviously the main thing of the game, scoring goals, and they just don't do it. I don't really remember him scoring that many goals in the Championship, to be fair, but it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. They don't score enough goals, end of, really. And in this league, you know, stats don't lie. You need to score at least, I wouldn't say at least two, but I think, you know, if you score two in a game, chances are you'll get something out of it. And like, they're on 19 in total this season out of 26 games. Obviously, that's less than one a game. So they are in deep trouble, really. I don't think, in my opinion, I don't think they'll go down. I do think they'll find some goals from somewhere. You know, they've got some experience in the team. They've got a proven goal scorer in the grade, though, which just hasn't really been firing. But I do think at the clutch time, I think he'll show. I think the team to really, really sort of watch out for now is Bournemouth. They've been really dragged into it all of a sudden, especially with Leicester winning yesterday. Yeah, they've been brought into it. I was saying, I think it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was thinking 15 downwards would be about where it is now, but it's definitely Bournemouth are inclusive in that. I don't think they'll go down. I think they have got too much talent there, but oh God, they are struggling.
I mean, if I was Eddie Howe next season, I would be looking to strengthen the centre-half position and maybe bringing in a holding midfielder, because they're just leaking goals a lot. I mean, they're great going forward. They've got a great philosophy for going forward, but at the back is where their problem is. And it's a bit like if them and Middlesbrough had combined a team with Middlesbrough's defence and then Bournemouth's attack, you'd have a good mid-table team that could probably then push on and look at further up the league. But Bournemouth have just, they never spent the money in the right place last season. They bought like Jordan Ibe for like £14 million, and they bought Benikofobi for like 10 in like the January or whatever. They bought Tyrone Mings, and he's only just played, like, come back from a really bad knee injury or whatever it was. And they've just, they're just so leaky. And I think Boric, I think he made a couple of mistakes, didn't he, against West Brom, as far as I'm aware. I mean, I think a top goalkeeper is a big priority in the Premier League, and I think there's not that many bad ones. I mean, Boric is not a bad goalkeeper, but I think there are better ones that, Bournemouth could definitely get. And one person I would definitely look at, and we played them recently, is Sheffield Wednesday's Kieran Westwood. If Sheffield Wednesday weren't to get promoted this season, he'd be my number one target. If I was going to look anywhere close, anyway.
Yeah, for me, any of really the second choice goalkeepers in a league. You know, they've Chelsea, you've got Begovic. Obviously, he's not going to get a sniff with Courtois in goal. Spurs, you've got Michel Vorm. City, you've got Caballero, who doesn't seem to get a game, which is a bit weird. Like, I don't know. Obviously, with Joe Hart coming back and things in the summer, things might change. I think Joe Hart is a bit of a too big of a name for them at this point. But even then, you've got Arsenal, they've got Ospina in goal. He's not a bad goalkeeper. He's definitely better than Boric. And I'm just going down the league here.
Yeah.
And there's some quality talent and really, really good goalkeepers in the league. Even at West Brom, you've got Boaz Mayhill, I think, still. He's not a bad goalkeeper. I'm just sort of throwing out names there.
Yeah.
They're all goalkeepers that are second choices that I would say are better than what Bournemouth have got. Like you saying, at the back is where their problems lie, definitely. You know, going forward, they're fine, they're free-flowing, they've got some really, really good players there. Stanislas, Adam Smith, I think he's a full-back, but he seems to chip in with a few goals here and there. Wilshere's, you know, I think he's really started to show what he can do in a team that isn't, you know, quite good enough for him in a way. I think he's too good for that team. But he leads the line really well. He's really positive going forward, I think, this season. And even players like Fobi and things, you know, I know like he's not really done much this season, but he's at the end of the day, he's quality talent.
Yeah.
Moving on to... who else should we choose? I think we'll touch on Everton because they beat struggling Sunderland on the weekend, 2-0. They could have been 12, in my opinion. It was ridiculous. They could have had hundreds of goals.
Yeah, I mean...
What the problem is with Sunderland this year is that they were too reliant on Jermaine Defoe.
Yeah, that's a massive problem because I know you can't just rely on one player. But Jermaine Defoe, you've got to remember, he's what, 34-year-old. I know Man United are relying on Ibrahimovic, but Man United have got a completely different team around Ibrahimovic than Sunderland have got around Jermaine Defoe. But I just think Sunderland haven't got. I don't really know any of their players. If I'm honest, they've got like a bunch of miscreants together, sort of thing, and formed a team, and then they've got Jermaine Defoe, and that is literally it.
Totally agree. I'm just looking at some of the start 11 now and I'm just thinking, what is that?
I mean, I've seen that Darren Gibson and Brian Oviedo are in there and I know of them, but like really, like I don't know any of their players really.
For me, you know, even those two players, Brian Oviedo couldn't make it at Everton, just wasn't good enough at the end of the day. Same with Darren Gibson, failed at United, even failed at Everton too. A couple of other players, you've got Januzaj, he's not a bad player, however, he's just not quite good enough. I mean, he'd probably be okay in like a second team in higher up the league, you know, say for example, he went back to United, he'd be kind of good to play, you know, as part of your kids' team against like an FA Cup side or something. But yeah, they just don't have enough.
I mean, the only other standout player for Sunderland is Jordan Pickford in goal. I think he's brilliant.
And yeah, he's a really, really good goalkeeper.
I think some teams will be licking their lips if Sunderland get relegated because they'll definitely look at him and go, we could have a really good goalkeeper, a future England goalkeeper as well. In Jordan Pickford, he's that good. I mean, he could probably take number one in the next couple of years unless Jack Butland comes back from injury and gets back to how he was just before his injury against Germany, I think it was, when he was playing for England before the Euros. But yeah, Jordan Pickford's a really good talent, I think. I think Sunderland need a massive like revamp. They kind of remind me of Sunderland, Sunderland. Don't remind me of Sunderland. Sorry, of Fulham a couple of years ago, where they've just got like just players from all over the shop and just old players, and they've never really like invested in the youth. I mean, they've got that one young lad called Duncan Whitmore, is it?
Yeah, he's not a bad player.
He's a very good player, and you need to build around those sort of players, and then like. And like the older players obviously need to contribute, but Sunderland need that massive revamp of players in my eyes. That's what it looks like to me anyway. I mean, how is John O'Shea still playing? I don't know.
He's awful, isn't he? Like, how is he still in the Premier League? Let's face it, he's rubbish. I mean, it was has been at United when he, like, what was that, 12 years ago?
He was just the utility man, though, for Man United.
Exactly. You know, he wasn't even good there. And to somehow get into, you know, a top 20 team in England is ridiculous. Like, it's just, he's clinging on, isn't he? Let's be real. He's trying to buy out another contract.
Just the power of Alex Ferguson and making average players overperform, like I always say.
Yeah, it's 100% that, because he's got no ability whatsoever. He's just a makeshift centre-half, really. Like, when he was at United, he was just a makeshift goalie, right-back, centre-mid. he just played wherever, didn't he? He just used to come on and do a job. So, yeah. I'd say it changes every week, but I do think from watching that performance and now looking at a team, I do think they'll definitely go down. I can't see them staying up unless the foe scores a hat-trick every week. The last couple here, we got Hull City 1, Burnley 1, which I think is a good result for both teams. Obviously, for Hull, picking up points is vital for them, and I think Burnley picking up a point away from home for like first time in about 10 years is pretty good as well.
Definitely. I mean, Michael Keane scored a really good finish, actually, like took it on his chest and smashed that one. I actually saw that one, and I really rate him as a centre half. I think he's come on leaps and bounds since he left Man United, and I think Man United have let quite a few players like that go where they think, oh yeah, they might not do anything, and they turn out to be really, really good. Obviously, Pogba being the biggest one that they let go for free, and obviously had to spend an arm and a leg and more to get him back. But Michael Keane is another one that's left United and really gone on to leaps and bounds, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of got to look at it and think, you know, he is a good player, don't get me wrong, but does he get into United's team? Probably not. He'd be a backup centre half at most, probably, and that's obviously to speak values of how good United's squad is this year. A couple of years ago, he probably could have. Yeah,
Man United's like back four is just complete makeshift by the looks of it.
Yeah, well, like last season, especially, and you know, and before that, you know, with Daley Blind at centre half, what's that all about? Like, he's like 5'9" or something. You know, yeah, he's a good player technically, but he's not a centre half, and he was never a left back either. He's the kind of guy to just sit in front of the back four. And then, you know, Smalling, he's got his fans, and he's got his haters as well. Like, I don't know, he's a very interesting player to watch. Like, he just doesn't look like a footballer, and the way he runs and things, he just looks like a dinosaur, doesn't he? Like, it's just weird. I don't know, it's just weird. He just does not look like he should be 6'4", an absolute monster, and be playing in the Premier League for one of the top sizes. It's just weird. So, like, yeah, I know we're going off a massive tangent there. Burnley, are they safe for you? Are they not safe? Do they need to do more?
Yeah, they're definitely safe. They're too strong at home to go down, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think their squad's really good this time as well. You know,
I think Sean Dyche has definitely, I think he's really learned from his lesson last time, and I think that's credit to Burnley's like board and everything, because I feel like that they stuck with him, they let him get back into the Premier League, and now they're reaping the rewards for it. Like I've said this before, I think, and I'm really happy for Sean Dyche. I think he's a good manager.
Future England manager?
I don't know. I mean, he's never really been thrown into the hat, has he? So it'd be interesting.
That's weird.
Is he from? Yeah. Is he English? I don't know.
Yeah, he's English.
So groggy. He's so groggy. He could be Scottish, Welsh, Irish. He could be anything.
It could be all four, you know. he did an okay job at Watford. I think he got sacked from there, in fact. And then all of a sudden he ended up at Burnley. And like, I went there last season, you know, when they were flying, and we were, in all fairness, Forest were a good team at that point, in terms of just being a solid team under Dougie Friedman, going there, and they just tore us apart. You know, Sam Vokes and Andre Gray were just way too good. And obviously in midfield they had Joey Barton at the back. They got Tom Eaton. They had, I can't remember the two centre halves that they got. Shackle, is it? And Ben Mee, is it?
Yeah.
You know, they just got some really quality players. And, you know, they, even though they let go like Kieran Trippier for to Spurs, they've replaced him. And they've just got a really good squad. So, yeah, I think they're more than safe. Last game, you've got Watford, West Ham at Vicarage Road, late kickoff, which ended 1-1. I don't really have anything to add on this.
Wanted to move on to Spurs because they won 4-0. It was 4-0 and a half in the first half as well.
I know
I've really jumped to it, but
they're definitely, yeah.
Harry Kane scored another hat trick for them, and is on 17 goals, joint with Alexis Sanchez and Romelu Lukaku. But interestingly, Harry Kane has got the best ratio in terms of goals per minute, which is 106 minutes per goal. And that's the highest of anyone that's played over 1,500 minutes. Because technically, Olivier Giroud's got the best in 82 minutes per goal, but he's only played 656 minutes this season.
Wow, that's a hell of a stat.
Yeah,
he's the informed player, isn't he?
Yeah, well, him and Lukaku and probably Diego Costa, and I suppose you put Ibrahimovic in that bracket. But who do you think who's going to win the Golden Boot this year?
For me, I do think Zlatan will do it. Like you've already said, he's carrying United this season, and if he stays fit, which is more than likely he will because of his ego will keep him fit. he never seems to get injured. He just always seems to score. You know, on Sunday it was just, you know, credit to him. Do you know what I mean? Scored a free kick, yeah, fair enough, whatever. But that goal, you know, you've got to have that knack of being there at the right time, and it just really shows his quality. And like, obviously he's had his critics and things, but he just is the main man this year, and so be it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm totally for it.
That's interesting to know, because I think with Man United, I know we've spoke a lot about Man United, because they're probably, them and Chelsea are probably the most informed teams in, like, Man United haven't lost for like 20 games. I think Zlatan probably is in quite a good position to win Golden Boot because of how well Man United seem to be doing. And obviously beating Southampton when they didn't play particularly well and he scored twice, I think that's probably quite a good shout from you, mate.
Yeah. I mean, if you get into the real nitty gritty of things, like, he's got the best penalty ratio. I know it sounds like really daft, but, you know, at the end of the day, the penalties add up. He's got the best penalty ratio in the league. I think Harry Kane's second there. He takes some free kicks as well, which is obviously important because he could, you know, chip him with a couple there. And he's already ahead. What is he on? I think he's already on 20 in the league.
He's on 15 in the league.
Oh, he's on 15 in the league. Okay.
Has he scored 20 in all competitions or something like that?
Oh, wow. Okay. But even on 15, I do still think he's favourite. You know, there's a lot of pressure on Harry Kane to score. Same at Everton. And, you know, you've got to bring in that inconsistency factor with Lukaku. He does have these 4 or 5 game spurts, and then he goes quiet for a couple. And, you know, even though I'm a massive fan of him, I'll totally agree with you on that. And then for me, Sanchez, yeah, he's flying, don't get me wrong, but he's not a striker, in my opinion, and eventually he'll dry up.
Mm. Yeah.
What do you think?
It's hard, because I feel like the team that wins the league usually have the top scorer. Obviously, it's not been the case for the last couple with Harry Kane, but I feel like Diego Costa could do it. I don't know. It's a tricky one, but it's good to have a lot of good strikers. I mean, the biggest surprise to of absences is Sergio Aguero this season, and he's only on 11. Which is
he's been missing though, isn't he? And he gets injured. Lot, yeah. He's been sent off once or twice as well.
I mean, imagine how good he would be if he was as fit as Ibra.
Yeah, he wouldn't be in the Premier League. He'd be at Barcelona or Real Madrid, wouldn't he? Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh God, what a trio that would be: Bale, Ronaldo, and Aguero. Oh my! Wow. He is a, don't get me wrong, on his day he's unbelievable, but I'm not his biggest critic, don't get me wrong, I've seen worse out there, but for me he doesn't show up in the big games. I don't know about you, but like whenever they seem to play like United, I know he's scored a few goals against United, but whenever they seem to play against United he doesn't really seem to be massively involved. Yeah, he might score a goal, but you know, you'll see him even more prominent against like Middlesbroughs and Burnleys and things like that. Yeah, fair enough. They're, you know, granted they're smaller teams and things, but he seems to get his plaudits from those games rather than the big games, like the marquee games, like against Chelsea, Arsenal, you know. I don't know where I'm going here. but yeah, my point is obviously he gets the large majority of his goals against the smaller teams and he doesn't really seem to always do it against the bigger teams.
I don't know what to make of that, but yeah, fair enough.
when you say you don't know what to make of it, what do you mean?
Because I don't really watch him enough to really know that. So as far as I know, he has scored quite a few goals, like you said, against like United and whatnot. I think you're probably right in the last season or two. I think before that, when he was like regularly quite fit, I think he was pretty good. I think he started to drop off, and I don't know why, because you'd think under Guardiola, he'd really thrive. But like you said, he's been injured quite a few times, so maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, that's his problem. He can't stay fit. I'll use a bit of an example. I think for like last season, I think let's say he scored 20 goals. 5 of those were against Newcastle. Do you know what I mean? He scores maybe a hat trick or 4 goals in one game and it goes missing for like 2 months.
Yeah.
A bit like Lukaku in a way, unless he plays like 4 or 5 teams that are down there in a row. And I think that's what I mean, where he gets his plaudits from that. I don't think he does it regularly enough to see it, sort of say he's the best striker in the Premier League. I would say, it's either Zlatan or Harry Kane, because Harry Kane's won the last two. You know, top goal scorer titles, and might well do it again, and might well do it for the next 4 or 5 years, because he's just a proven goal scorer.
Yeah.
We'll leave that and close the door on that, and we'll open a new one. Don't know what that was about, but yeah. we've got 2 segments going on here. I've got my football hero, which is nowhere near as good as five-a-side, but I'll sort of say who my football hero is this week, and it's going to be Claudio Ranieri. What a shock. but why not, right? The guy, you know, galvanised a set of average players into a Premier League title winning team in his first season, and they weren't even his own players. I think people forget that. And I'll just sort of end it and say the guy deserves a statue, and that's it. And then we'll move on to five-a-side.
Well, talking about Leicester City, five-a-side is on the theme of the allegations of players going behind Ranieri's back and going to the board. So I want to know 5 players that you'd think that would betray you.
Okay, I've got some interesting ones.
This could be like anything. I mean, they could be a mate that would help you, like, that give you a lift or something, and they bail out, but or they could be a player that signs for your rival club, and they're an absolute nana for it.
I've got a couple of like ones that you know well known for just antics and things. So I'll start off with John Terry, because let's be honest, you'll shag anything that walks, and especially if it's your wife. He's just a dick, and he like let's be real. This podcast is so explicit now, it's ridiculous. I've just said dick in a sentence and he shags, like. But yeah, he's just a massive twat, and I think he's already in your team as well, right?
He would have been, but I didn't want to pick the same person. The only thing I would say that I really hate about John Terry is he's really he's really arrogant, but do you know what? He's such a professional guy. Like, when it comes to actual football and Chelsea, he's the Chelsea man other than Lampard was. And I really respect him for that, but I think off the field, I just think, oh, you're an idiot.
Yeah. Just a quick side question before I move on. You just said the Chelsea man other than Lampard. Would you say John Terry or Frank Lampard?
Well, I'd say John Terry because he'd come through the youth system.
Okay, fair enough. I'll agree with you on that. Yeah. Anyway, whatever. Second one, I've got John Obi Mikel. Because he's that type of guy to make plans and then change his mind last minute because it benefits him. Right? So where I got that link from is because obviously he signed for United and then a day later he signed for Chelsea, didn't he?
Oh yeah, they gained like 12 million out of him, didn't they?
And that's it.
That was unbelievable. Oh my god.
Yeah, so that's where I got that one from. I don't know, put a little bit. Yeah, I know, how good. I've got a bit of a side note. I've got anyone who plays for Chelsea, because you give them what they want, and then they fuck you off after a year. It happened Mourinho twice. It's probably going to happen next season because they've won the Premier League. That'll be it.
I really like Conte as well.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't get sacked, but he probably will.
Well, I hope he will stays eventually in the league, anyway. Though.
Yeah, he'd probably go to Liverpool. Why not? Banter, innit?
Banter.
We didn't even talk about Liverpool. Anyway, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's only them. Emmanuel Adebayor. Because if he doesn't get paid, he'll go somewhere else where he does. I hate him. He just takes football for granted. Like, he's even said he doesn't like football, he just does it because he's good at it.
Asu Okata, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, it's just like, we talk about it all the time. It's just like, how can you be so selfish and, like, you know, just play for the money? Like, you know, there's millions of people out there who just play for the fun of it. He's a dick. Another one, Marouane Fellaini. This is like my most interesting one, I think.
Okay.
Basically, it's him or anyone with a shit haircut, right? The reason why is because you can't trust anyone with a shit barnet, can you? You just can't. Like, you know, there's someone in your head and you just think, right, I can't trust him because of his hair. Like, it's just a definite. Like, I've got one in my head. I'm not going to name names, but I know someone with a shit barnet. I just think, I don't trust you. So that's another one. And then last but not least, I got Ronaldo. I know I've got six here. Well, I haven't really got six. I just said I know I've played Chelsea.
Which Ronaldo, by the way?
New Ronaldo or Cristiano. Because of the obscene filth that he produces week in, week out, to mug people off. He's just the classic mug man.
Is there anything to do with the winking incident as well?
I mean, if you want to include it, go ahead. I totally forgot about that, in all fairness.
That's what I thought you were including it for.
No. Like, just because of his amazing talent, like, he just shows people up all the time, doesn't he?
So you don't trust him?
So don't trust him because of it. Like, he'd betray me because, like, he'd be my mate and then I'd play for, like, Celta Vigo and then playing at left back and he comes on the right and skins me. Like, I can't act. No, not having it. Do you know what I mean? Like, so, yeah, that's my five. What were your five?
First of all, Carlos Tevez.
Okay.
I've put Carlos Tevez because of the whole, played for United, ends up at Man City, and now recently he's gone to China to play for money, basically. I just feel like, I don't know, he's a really good player, but he's just someone that I just don't trust. He looks like a thug, in all honesty. He does look like he'd take your lunch money.
Oh my god, yeah, you know what? if you're there, like, waiting in the dinner line, you'd be thinking, like, right, where's your money? Like, god, you just give it him because he's got, like, a kettle neck, isn't he? Like, it's just, it's no weird.
I know that burn or whatever on his neck or whatever is from when he was a kid or whatever, but if you don't know that, you think he's been in some serious shit.
You think he's been in a gang or something?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't trust Carlos Tevez. Right, next one, Dimitri Payet.
Ooh, snake.
Yeah, massive snake. West Ham fans, I think they feel a bit like how you said with Cristiano Ronaldo, where he gave them such magic for a whole year and then pissed off. Back to his home in Marseille.
Yeah, just go ER Premier League. Just have a year of world class talent, and just go, nah, I'm having enough now. Yeah. I've had me fun.
I think this is quite an interesting one, and I've got a couple of reasons for it. It's John Terry's brother, Paul Terry. The reason I've said Paul Terry is because he slept with a player's wife at his football club when he played for Yeovil, apparently, and then that player committed suicide.
What? Oh my god, that got deep.
Yeah. And also, never trust a man with two first names. I mean, Paul and Terry. Like, just now.
Never trust a man with two first names. Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I actually know anyone with two first names.
John Terry. Paul Terry.
Actually, yes, I do. Doesn't matter. I've got one. but yeah. 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 Well, John Terry, I guess. Yeah. Your next one?
Fourth one is Luis Figo. Just purely for going to your rival club, really. Playing for Barcelona, go to Real Madrid to be a Galactico. It's just not on in that sense, is it? You can't be doing that.
It's unacceptable.
It's happened
a few times though, isn't it?
It has happened a lot. I mean, I was really tempted to put Chris Commons down. but I thought I'd leave it at that. And this is probably I think this is a good one. Adam Johnson.
Oh my god!
You can't trust him with your kids, can you? So.
oh my god!
So yeah,
savage.
It's very savage. Yeah.
Wow! I wasn't expecting that.
That's my five.
That's a really good five-a-side team. You've got a couple of left-footed players in there.
Got a couple of good players. Good
players.
Terry
you got,
be a weakness.
Yeah. Play for Yeovil. Wow. Well, that's interesting, that. Yeah, I think that's a, you know, school should call it a day, not right?
Yes.
Right. Cheers, guys. Obviously, if you enjoyed our really, really long winded episode, it's actually not even that long, it's only about an hour, if that. If you really enjoyed our podcast or just enjoyed it or didn't even like it, then just share it anyway on your Twitter, because now you follow us on Twitter, so you can like our tweets, retweet them obviously, and then still share with your parents, because you know we need all the views we can get.
Yes.
So probably again it's going to be up on Wednesday because Adam had a really long weekend, basically he got pissed and couldn't hack it on Monday. he didn't really, he was really busy, so that's fine. So yeah, it'll be up on Wednesday probably, as we're talking. We're on Tuesday, so we will see you probably again next Wednesday, in all fairness.
Yes.
Alright,
cheers guys, and please follow us on Twitter. Followers will follow you back, hopefully, and yeah, retweet, that would be very nice.
Cheers guys.
Bye.